Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are going to talk to you today about perfect timing.
Well, it's a math equation.
Oh, see, I figured that about you. I mean, what more could I expect?
You think that I'm a mathematician?
Well, evidently, I mean, you're getting into it.
Well,
this ain't that new math that they're teaching,
I'm
right?
I'm having a little bit of trouble. I've never had anybody recognize me as any kind of a math expert before. I'm having a little identity crisis here.
Okay. You know. Right.
But no, I was studying about the palm leaves. You know, the palm trees are so cool. It takes them 30 years to develop to where they start producing fruit.
And they
use palm leaves to spread before Jesus.
Yes.
When he's
on. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know how old Jesus was when he started his ministry?
About there.
Mm-hmm. It's right there. 30
yeah.
years.
Cool.
So it's just that kind of timing. I heard some guy talking on the Reels. Do you ever watch Reels?
Some. I have in the past, yeah.
You have in the past?
Yeah.
You were like went through an addictive process.
Oh my gosh.
School to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but anyway, they were talking about that mathematics is the language of God.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. I think maybe it's one of the languages he speaks for mm-hmm. sure. He sure established it. But they were talking about everything can be relied on mathematically for the whole universe because it all works on a system of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful study about how God's timing had to be exactly perfect. Even for like the woodpecker. Do you know anything about a woodpecker?
No, but you're going to tell this during your sermon,
no,
aren't
I'm
you?
Not.
You're not?
No.
Well, tell it now then.
Well, a woodpecker has a tongue that wraps clear around his head. Did you know that?
No.
Mm-hmm. You know why?
Why?
To keep him from rattling his brains when he's pecking on the wood. It's really true.
I thought when he was talking too much to his wife, it finally kind of shut him up.
Give her something to grab onto. There's no other animal in anywhere that has a tongue that wraps all the way around the head. There's no evolutionary process for that.
Right.
It had to all happen at the same time. And so it was a timing deal. It's pretty,
perfect
pretty funny.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Sit back and relax. We're going to sing a song or two and get right to this message. You're going to enjoy it.
This is a song that you can sing along with. He has set us free. Anybody been set free this morning? All right. You've been set free from the bondage that we were born into. Praise God for that.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from the sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Well, he set me free, yeah. He set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, he set me free. Feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. And he set me free, yeah, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God. He set me free. Well, he set me free, yeah. He set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, he set me free. Well, he set me free, yeah, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, he set me free. Come on and sing it with me. He set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God, he set me free.
Amen? Yeah. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever.
In our lives, the Holy Spirit lives. And we can let him be out here where people can see him, or we can hide it.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings the fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it, and take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now our sister, she's been robbed and lied to, but still holds a candle without a flame. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see.
Okay, even men can hold hands.
We are a family whose hearts are blazing, and we raise our candles.
Come on, raise them up
and light up the sky, praying to our Father.
That looks good.
In the name of Jesus, oh, make us a beacon in darkest hours. Carry a candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it, and take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world.
Take this candle wherever you are, in the smallest place or the biggest place, because the light will dispel the darkness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, this morning, I've been reflecting on everything that happens this past spring. You know, they have the pre-emergent, post-emergence that you put on your pasture. We go through what we call Easter season. Our pastor has changed all that. He doesn't like the word Easter. There's so many bad connotations. So we now call it Resurrection Sunday. We had the Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and then we had the start of baseball, and the baseball season's going, and hockey season is wrapped up, and basketball, it's in the middle of it. And there's just times and seasons for everything. And the thing about God is he does everything in his time. And the thing about that is his timing is always perfect. It's exactly when it should be. It's exactly the way it should be, and it's done precisely. And it all starts, and I want to go back to that Palm Sunday, and just to kick this off, and I'm going to look at several things about Palm Sunday that will help us to realize that God really does know what he's doing, and God's timing is so perfect. In all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all recorded the triumphant entry in Jerusalem. In chapter 11 of Mark is where I'll be reading from to start with. And it says this: "And when they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, 'Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat.'" In other words, it's unbroke. "And bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and we'll send it back here right away.'" So I want to pray about this, and then we'll enjoy it a little bit. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your history. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your timing. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this event, that we would begin to look forward to your second coming, and we would be able to see the things evolving around and helping us to get ready. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So my brother and I, and I've got to apologize to you right off. My brother and I've told this story several times on Cowboy Church, but it's one of my favorite stories that's ever happened. My brother and I are really good friends. Randy's his name. He's preached on Cowboy Church here for several times. And when we were in college, we got a chance to go to the college national finals, and it's actually because of him that I got to go. And so we had this horse. We called him Juice. Now, Juice was he was a paint horse, but don't think that he's a second-rate horse. He was a grandson of Three Bars, and he was a big-time horse, and he was gorgeous. They showed him at Halter, and he was a High Point Halter horse in Utah. And we rope calves on him. He was our backup calf horse. He's not our main horse. And he is our main heading horse. And Randy filled his permit bulldogging on him. So, I mean, the horse could do anything and it could really run. He's an amazing horse. But he had this little thing that if you didn't take your time warming him up, he would just buck you off. He would just buck you off. Or me and Randy, we weren't bronc riders. So, you know, part of that could have been our inability to stay on too. But the way you did that is you put the saddle on him, you start to cinch it up, and he would start doing this. And if it started to speed up, then he would just throw a fit. If he was tied up, he'd yank back. If he wasn't tied up, he would just bog his head and buck. If you were on him, he might run into the fence. He might, he would just completely lose it. But if he ever blew up one time, then you're absolutely safe. So we get to the college finals, and they change the order from what we were used to in our region. And the team roping was a second event, and we were in trouble. And of course, we were just giving ourselves just enough time, and Juice had a day off, and that made it even worse. And So Randy's going to be heading on him, and Randy's got him cinched up. He's walked him through, and he took a deep breath. You could now walk him, and then he then when he took a deep breath, you could get on and sit there. Deep breath. Then you start walking him. Don't hurry anything, because if you did, he owned you. So Randy's walking him around very slow. Hasn't started trotting or galloping, and we're still 15, 20 minutes away from safety. And one of the kids on our team comes up to Randy, and he says, Randy, I want to introduce you to Dan Massey. This is Dan Massey. He's a student president of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association, and he's a saddle bronc rider, and they're going to introduce him in the grand entry, and he doesn't have a horse to ride. He's wondering if you could ride that good-looking paint horse. Randy had a trophy saddle on him. He's looking really nice, and he said he wondered if he could ride that good-looking paint horse in the grand entry when they introduce him. Randy steps off, hands him the reins, says, Dan, I'd be honored. Man, you just go right ahead, not realizing that Dan's life was now in danger, maybe. So at college rodeos, they don't do anything slow. They open the gate. They introduce the student president. He's the first person they introduced. He's supposed to go through the gate, go around the corner, go down to the end of the arena, turn around and come back, and he's supposed to wave at the people, you know, like the queens do. He is supposed to wave at the people all the way around, and they open the gate. They introduce Dan Massey, president of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association, and the gate opens, and he kicks old Juice, and old Juice yanks the reins right out of his hand, and bogs his head, and starts bucking. Well, Dan stays on him. He's a saddle bronc rider. He should have. And he rides him around the end, rides him down to the end, goes around the corner, and on the way back, Juice kind of realizes that he's got somebody on him and probably ride, and he decides he doesn't want to buck anymore, and he kind of gives it up, coming back up the deal, and Dan reaches up around the ears and picks his reins up, and he stops, parks him where he should park, and they have the rest of the grand entry. Well, you know, the rest of the grand entry is this, that the first guy in is the last guy out. The end of the grand entry, here comes Dan, only he's leading Juice, and he's got one of these big black wide-rimmed hats, cut really wide, and he's got his head down so he can't see his eyes. He hands the reins to Randy, and he says, you got me. You got me. You did a good job. You got me. And Randy, my brother, he said, well, Dan, they tried to do that to Jesus. I remember Dan's head, it comes from this to this. And he says, yeah, Dan, he said, they put him on a colt wherein never a man sat. Nobody ever rode him. Only his way better hand than you. He kept his from bucking. And at the end of that, I told Randy, I said, Randy, you know, I'm not sure that's a really good witness for Dan. He's like you stuck a thumb in his eye when he is down. I think maybe you could have picked a better time to tell him about Jesus. And he goes, nah, he needs to know about that. And so that was kind of the, gave me some insight onto those people that had the colt. They had a colt that had never been ridden. And when the disciples went to take him, he said, the Lord has need of him. And I wondered if it was the people who owned the colt that started the ideas of throwing the palm leaves and the coats down in front of the donkey. Because you see, those of you who are rodeo people, I know most of you are, and you understand this, but for the one or two that may not, if you ever have a bucking horse at a rodeo that doesn't start bucking right out of the chute, he has a tendency to run out a long ways before he starts bucking. You lose a lot of time that you could be gaining points in your ride. So what they'll do, they'll have a flank strap or they'll throw a coat down right at the gate and the horse will jump over that and he'll go to bucking right at the gate. I was just wondering if maybe the people who own the donkey was the ones who got the coats and the palm leaves deal started. I'm not really sure, but I just went to looking into that a little bit, and I found some really, really interesting things about palm branches and about cloaks and about what was actually going on at this time on Palm Sunday. So here's the first thing, the palm branches. Somebody, I was looking through some reels the other day, and I saw this guy. It said, mathematics is the language of God. I'll let him just preach to you on that, but go look that up. Mathematics are the language of God. I don't think it's his only language, but I think it's one that he uses a lot. And mathematics is really an interesting thing. And I found some things out about these palm branches that have to do with numbers. Palm leaves or palm trees don't produce fruit until they're exactly 30 years old. They have to be 30 years old to begin to bear fruit. And Jesus, when he started his ministry, he was exactly 30 years old. And the palm leaves were a signal for victory, for joy, for royalty, for salvation. It was a divine celebration, and it was a celebration of triumph and winning. And they thought at this triumph that this was the Savior. This was the guy that was going to bring them out from under the rule of Rome. And so they were excited about this, and they were starting to throw the coats out there and the palm leaves. The palm leaves signified this is the victory. This is the joy we have. This is the royalty that we'd like to honor. This is salvation. And this is a triumph over Rome and over the oppression and over the oppressor. But that was not what Jesus was trying to get to. But before we get to that part, the word, the cloaks, it was, I looked up the word, and it's a tallit or a prayer shawl was what they were throwing out there. A tallit or a prayer shawl. Now, I got to go to Israel a few years ago, back when it was safe. And I bought one of these. This is called a prayer cloth. And if you notice, it's folded. And this is what they would use to pray.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.